Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from United Denomination of Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Dagwood Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident pastor of the Abbey Branch in Dawenia, off the Dawenia-Afienya Link Road. He oversees many churches both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
To remind ourselves of things, learn lessons from it, or remind ourselves of the lessons that were learned from it, and then we don't depart from it. We live by those things. Hallelujah. So you are supposed to learn lessons in things that you see. Hallelujah. For instance, let me read Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2. We are talking about Christmas, so this verse is going to be bad. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2 says that it is better to go to the house of mourning, you get it, than to go to the house of feasting. For it is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. So you realize that if you go to the house of mourning, what the Bible is saying, that you must learn something. You see, you must learn something. Fools can go to the house of mourning, celebrate funerals, everything, and not learn anything from it. So we need to celebrate things and learn things from it. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. I would read, it says that when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. "Go into the middle in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all. The tribes of Israel, we will use to build a memorial." Everybody say a memorial. "We will use this stone to build a memorial. In the future, not even for now. Because for now you would understand. You know, you have experienced it. You get it. But in the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean? What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them. You can tell them, remind us that the land stopped flowing when the ark of the Lord's covenant went across. They remind us. Stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." Hallelujah. Then you jump to verse 21. "As the Israelites, in the future, your men will ask, 'What do these stones mean?'" What does this mean? What you are celebrating, what is it for? So you realize that we celebrate things for lessons out of it. Not just, that's why in Africa, celebrating things, and yet we learn nothing out of it. We most of the day part of celebrations. But learn anything out of it. Even some people go for funeral, they don't know who has died. They just want to go for celebration. That I remember once, my wife's mother or father told me that somebody died, and the relatives had come home. So they're telling me about their relative. That somebody died, and this relative was so quarrelsome and troublesome. Every funeral she went and quarrel. Sister went, and when she went, she was crying, accusing the, if you like, the woman's side or the man. I think the woman died. So accusing the woman's family of killing the man. So you have killed a man, you have seen him. It's up to you. It's up to you. As she was going there, body was lying down, and so she went and went. She looked at the face of the person. When the face of who? Which meant that she didn't even know who had died. She had assumed, do you get it? She had assumed that Mr. So-so-so was the one who was dead. But it wasn't the person who was dead. But she just loved attending funerals and celebrations. Hallelujah. Amen. But everything that you commemorate or you celebrate, you should have lessons. If we say we are going to have 6 March, we need to learn lessons from 6 March. If it's whatever it is, we need to learn lessons from that thing. Amen. And so it says that in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Hallelujah. This is where. You know, when people ask you, you see, the reason why we are not able to preach salvation, we are not able to talk about Christ, is because we don't know exactly what to tell people when they ask us. What to tell them. Even so that we put on the cross, and they ask, what is the meaning of the cross? You say, you can't tell them. But people will usually ask you, why are you going to church? Why are you doing this? Why have you put on Brunyachow, Christmas hat? Why have you come here to celebrate? Is it just for the eating? Because you realize that now everybody celebrates Christmas. Everybody, Al-Qaeda, everybody is celebrating Christmas. So it's losing its meaning. Hallelujah. So he said, tell them. You can tell them what happened. Can you tell people what happened during Christmas? The Christmas story. Can you really tell someone about the Christmas story to the extent that the person can give his or her life to Christ and to celebrate Christmas with meaning? Can you really tell the person what it means? He said, then you can tell them that this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. You see, so this lesson, you know what it's going to teach them? It's going to teach how big their God is. How God can make a way where there is no way. And he was saying, don't let this great thing that God has done just come and pass like that. No. Do something that every occasionally people can celebrate it and they can use it to tell people about how great our God is. How he made efforts where there was no way. And how God will make you where there is no way. Hallelujah. 2019, God is going to make a way for somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody who cannot understand mathematics, God will make you understand mathematics. He did this. So, listen. He did this. All the nations of the earth might know. And so, hear the Lord your God forever. So, he did it for a reason. And we must be able to tell people the reason why we celebrate things as Christians. Very soon, Easter will come. After Easter, what else will come? Christmas again. Okay, but others celebrate other things like Lent and all those with Easter and then all those things, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, all those things will come. We'll say, but do we know why? Do we know why? So today, we just want to know for ourselves why we celebrate Christmas, and after that, we go home. Hallelujah. Luke 2:1. Don't let it just be a formality, because Christmas time, we have come to church. We need to sing carols. We need to do all those things. Even recently, I got a message about the meaning of the 12 days of Christmas. How do you sing that song? On the first day of Christmas, my brother to me. Wait. Some of you didn't go to Sunday school. Let's be patient with Pastor Bellings, please. We call it what? The 12 days of Christmas. You see? Now, How many of you have sung the 12 days of Christmas before? But you know there is a meaning to it. There is a meaning to it, but we didn't know. Hallelujah. Glad you sing that, so I don't think they know. They say they don't know it, so they can't bring it. And their life is on the
day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
A partridge in a pear tree. You know what a partridge is? What is a partridge? It's a bird in a what? A pear tree. So on the day of Christmas, my
a partridge in a pear tree.
What does it mean? In a pear tree. Then number two,
on the second Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
Two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. That's the second day. Is that not so? Do you understand it? On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
You'll be thinking of what you are going to eat, isn't it? Hen yeyedi. Hen kranamunim. Okay.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Hey, it's becoming four calling birds, calling birds.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me five gold rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
If you don't know how to sing, just sing it too. Don't pretend that, no, from today you know how to sing it. You get it? We are on the sixth day, isn't it?
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me six kids are laying five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Do you remember when we were going for Carol's night at school? We're singing all these songs. Did you understand it?
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love sent to me seven swans are swimming, six geese are laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Let's jump to the 12th day. Let's jump to the 12th day. On the 12th day of Christmas,
my true love sent to me 12 fiddlers filling, 11 ladies dancing, 10 pipers, 9 drummers drumming, 8 guitarists, 7 swans are swimming, 6 geese are laying, 5 golden
now, put your hands together for my choir. Do you understand? But you see, this is a very powerful, meaningful song. Somebody may say that, why are we singing white people's songs? So we can say that, Conto mire, I hear it, I hear
it, I hear it.
Have you heard that one? Sing it.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
a partridge.
Highlight.
Pedri.
Highlight.
On the day of Christmas, my true love me. Pie and yam on the partridge in the pedri. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me. Fantanic Cartier. Pie and yam. In a pedry. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Caught on your bed, one fountain in Cartier. Pie and your mamma, and a partridge in a pedry.
Last one.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Caught on your bed,
Chinga!
Chinga, nyaliwa. Cotwire toto and a partridge in a pedri.
Last one.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Cotumbre, cotumbre.
Chinga,
chinga, nyaliwa, katieni. Cotwire toto and a partridge in a pedri.
Some of you don't know Alewa. Do you know Alewa? Alewa, Yofi. Do you know Alewa? It doesn't know. Do you know Koto Ayatotun? Koto Ayatotun ni Alewa ni omuntiasi. You see, paya. I say angwamu, angwamu. Paya ye chicha. Ede ede. Koko Ayatotun. Hey, that. Roasted plantain, Kodo Brookman. Hey! So you see that we have sung these songs, but see, when they were singing this particular one in English, there was a meaning. There was a meaning. It wasn't, and if I tell the meanings, should I tell the meanings? Okay. He says that, what in the world do leaping lords, French hens, swimming swans, and especially partridge who won't come out of their pear tree have to do with Christmas? What do they have to do with that? We will think that Christmas we eat. That's why we talk about contemporary paya yatotun, kotwa yatotun, alewa, abenkwine, and all of you, I'm sure everybody is thinking of what we are going to eat. Everybody's saying what they are going to do. From 1558 until 1829, Roman Catholics in England, this was not part of my message, but let's flow. Roman Catholics in England were not permitted to practice their faith openly. Did you get it? They were being persecuted. So you couldn't openly say that you were a Christian. Someone during that era wrote this carol as a catechism song for young Catholics. If you give your life to Christ, they wrote it in a way coded so that they will use it to send messages to them. It has two levels of meaning. The surface meaning plus a hidden meaning known only to the members of their church. Each element in the carol has a code word for a religious reality which the children could remember. My true love. Did you hear true love? My true love means God. So anytime they hear my true love, they are sending a coded message that God, you see, so God sends gift to us daily. That's what they are trying to say. God, my true love sends. They want to say God sends gift to us what? Daily. So this is how they were using to teach new converts when they get born again. Because in those days, you were supposed to hide. You weren't supposed to let them know that you were a Christian. And you couldn't openly say things, because they could identify as a Christian, they would persecute you. So they were using coded words. So when you hear my true love sent to me, you get it. That God supplies your needs daily. Hallelujah. The partridge in a pear tree was what? Jesus Christ. So anytime they hear Jesus Christ, that's why after God, Jesus. So everything now comes from God through Jesus. So that's what they are trying to teach them. So it was not just a song. It had a meaning. That's when people say, oh, abrofonium, abrofonium, you see, and so which we are making, and they do, konto mire, you get it, without any, you get it. But it actually has, you get it, actually has a meaning. Three hens, three French hens stood for faith, hope, and faith, hope. So those who were singing the song, they knew that they were talking about faith, hope, and love. So you'll be there too, but they're telling that God always supplies you through faith, hope, and love. They were in themselves. You get it? The two turtle doves were the Old and the New Testament. The two turtle doves were the Old and the New Testament. Three, okay, then I've said that. Three French and two turtle doves. The four calling birds. Do you hear the four calling birds? The four calling birds were the four gospels of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when you hear, so as they are singing, they're actually telling them, Charlie, make sure that you should believe God. God is the one who supplies all our needs through Jesus Christ. Keep faith alive. Keep hope alive. Be always joyful. And also continue to read the gospels. Read the gospel of Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. Read them. That's what they were trying to tell them. The five golden rings recall the Torah of or the law. That's the first books of the law. The first five books, remember? That's what they are saying. And then seven swans are swimming. Seven swans are swimming. Represented the sevenfold gift of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, and mercy. So they understood it like that. The eight maids are milking were the eight beatitudes. Remember the beatitude, Jesus said, blessed are the rich and merciful, they shall be, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are, they are the eight beatitudes. So when you hear eight maids are milking, no, and a pine tree, they are talking about the beatitude. So remember the beatitude, they are teaching you something. Nine ladies dancing. Were the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That was the meaning. Yes. You see, this preacher cry is nice. The ten lords are leaping were the ten commandments. Ten commandments. The 11 pipers piping stood for the 11 faithful disciples. No, they were 12 and one became an orangutan. So the 11 faithful disciples were the 11 pipers. And the 12 drummers, drumming, symbolized the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. You know the Apostles' Creed? That's the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. So you realize just, you know, everything they were doing was for a reason, for a purpose. Everything you also do must have a meaning. But oftentimes we do post meaning. We follow something we are following. That's when people ask us about it, we can't tell them. Ask, how are you going to church this Christmas? We can't tell them. Why are you doing this? We can't. Why are you wearing black? We can't tell them. Because we are just following without understanding. Hallelujah. So, back to my story in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke 2, 11. The Christmas story. When they ask you, can you tell them with meaning, with understanding, for somebody to give his or her life to Jesus? Can you? Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, for unto us, because Christmas brought us what? Joy, light, and life, which is salvation. That's what Christ brought to the world. Hallelujah. It is not for nothing that 1 John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was not for nothing. Hallelujah. It was not for nothing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It wasn't for nothing. Hallelujah. In making us to know that everything starts with God, and wherever there's darkness, there's this thing. But in Genesis chapter 1, you also realize that it was about the beginning where there was confusion. It's about the beginning where there was confusion. So, Christ needed to come at a certain point. Christ needed to come at every cross. So the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So during Christmas, we are celebrating salvation. Salvation to mankind. That's what we're actually doing. Because Jesus is a Savior of men. He was not just born into this world. He's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He has come to save us. Hallelujah. Jesus is a Savior in that he has brought us what? Light for life. A Savior who brought light for life. In other words, we were in this world, just as it's in Genesis, gross darkness was upon the surface of the earth. And the only way God could make meaning out of it was to make sure that the light came. So in the said, let there be light before order and everything will come. And so Jesus came as a Savior, and as a Savior, he brought us light to live for our life. So in 1-7, in John 1:4-7, but in him was life. In him was life. Does it mean that before Jesus, people didn't have life? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness. Remember in Genesis, let there be light. And the light did what? Shined in darkness. The light shined in darkness. And the Bible said, and darkness comprehended it not. Wow. Darkness comprehended it not. You see, we were all in darkness. The whole world was in darkness. We needed a way out. And throughout time, God tried to save man. Tried to save man. He did it. Through the law, before the law, he did it. I'm sure he knew how he did it. Then the law came, and the law came to bring a lot of confusion. But at that time, that was what was available. But the law brought a lot of confusion. Amen. If we were to live by the law for just 5 minutes here, it would be a problem for us. If we were to live by the law, just for 5 minutes, here, there'll be a problem. Do you know one of the problems, when that can happen? How many of you have heard of adultery before? How many of you have heard of fornication before? How many, since you got married, have slept with somebody's husband before? You committed adultery before? How many have done it before? Somebody says, me, I mean, can I? People are some way. How many have done that before? Physically, I mean. Who is going to own up? Have you done it before? So, are you not happy that since you got married, you have not committed adultery before? Yeah. I mean, adultery. Hey, they say adultery, not tree. The tree of evil. Adultery. Okay. How many of you have committed fornication before? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hey, you have, brother. You are honest. Somebody drinks. But you know that if you are not committed fornication, but they are virgins. They are virgins. I'm telling you, they are virgins. I can, even today, I can, and there's one I'm looking at right now, unless iniquity has entered, but they are virgins. Even 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, including you. But do you know that if we're going to live by the law, Virgin, even Virgin Mary is here, When we were doing the play, we wanted a virgin. We looked and looked and looked. The only virgin we found was the mother of three, including twins. Mother of three, including twins. That's the virgin we got. The only virgins are airplanes, Virgin Atlantic and Virgin or whatever. Do you get it? But if it was the law, we would be saying that you've all committed adultery. Because according to the law, if you look at a woman lustfully, if you look at a woman lustfully, or you look at a man lustfully, you see, you look at somebody, they want to look and say, hey, this woman has a nice shape. According to the law, Virgin Mary. If you look at a woman lustfully, according to the law, so how many of you would think that you've committed adultery before, according to the law? Yeah, look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them at the front here. Hey, how many of you will be guilty according to the law? Please raise your hand. Yeah. Hey, you see, all the men are raising, but all the women are like, cool, they don't want to raise. Meanwhile, they are the ones, so they are the ones. Okay, if you look at a woman, okay, if you look at a man lustfully, okay, I understand. How many of you will say that Ruben has been standing here singing and you have looked at him lustfully before, any, for that matter, Pastor Francis? How many of you have looked at a man lustfully before? Raise your hand, let me see. Raise your hand, let me see. Hey! Don't bring yourself. Were you not the one who came to ask me? Were you not the one who came to ask me that if you feel for sex, what should I do? And you are not raising your hand. Why did you ask me that question? Nobody knows who I'm talking about. But you see, the person's hand is down. Eh? Don't bring yourself. Hallelujah. So, Jesus came to save us. The whole world was in darkness. The whole world was in darkness. So the light shineth in darkness. Now you see, this darkness that Jesus came to shine on, it's not talking about normal darkness that you are in your house and the lights go off and there is darkness. No. This darkness is something that we call, in other words, lack of knowledge about the things around you. Not knowing, understanding spiritual things. That's darkness. The works of this, of the world. That's darkness. So when the light, it came to now let me, that where I am going to, there is a ditch. There is a hole. I will fall into the ditch. So let me not go there. That's what Jesus came to do. John, the same came for a witness. Bear witness of the light. All men through him might believe. It is, but you can bear witness of the light. Hallelujah. Which means that we are not the light. We can bear witness of the light. We can bear witness of the light. Jesus came to give us life and brought light. Hallelujah. Light to see our way through. Light is what will make us know what is sin, what is good, what is bad, what you should do and what you shouldn't. That is light. For many of us were living certain kind of, and we're very happy with it. But as soon as the light came into our lives, we saw that, hey, this thing is wrong. But before the light came, and light is not, because you can hear something, but you can, you see, light is understanding of what it means. You can hear something, but you don't understand it. But when the light comes, I heard so many things when I was an unbeliever. But I didn't really, nothing happened to me. But the day the light came to me, no one told me that this was wrong or this was right. That is why, even though there are certain things not written in the Bible, you know, there are certain things that it is not written in the Bible that I shall not drink. It's not written in the Bible.
Have you seen it before? It's only if you say, don't be giving too much wine. But when I got born again, I don't know what happened. One of the things I stopped doing without anybody telling me was that I stopped drinking. So it makes me to know that when the light comes, even though some things are not written, you yourself, you will know. Understanding will come that this is not written, but it is not good. It's not commodious with your new way of living. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's not commodious. Fornication is fornication. Do you get it? But fornication is not touching a breast. It may have its own issues, immorality, whatever. But it's not it. But when the light comes, you get it? No one will tell you. Oh, you shouldn't come and ask that, where is it written in the Bible that don't do this? You won't come and say, where is it written in the Bible that don't do this? You won't come and say, where is it written in the Bible that when he send a test to people in the church, don't send kisses. So in the dawn, they'll be sending tests to girls in the church and blowing kisses. Not your wife. After your beloved, you may at a certain time. When the light comes, you yourself, you should know. You should know. And don't you see that you get it, but you know that it's wrong. When the light is there, you are really honest. You will be doing it, but you know that it's wrong. Meanwhile, those days you did it, but you didn't feel anything. Is it not true? Hey, am I preaching to human beings today, or I'm preaching to angels? Angels. They are wearing their crowns already, so they are angels. You will know. I mean, something that you used to do without thinking. Now, even when it occurs to you, they say, hey. And you are afraid. Even if you do it. And some of you have done it. Father, forgive them their sins. How many of you are receiving forgiveness right now? I've joined the whole hand. Yours is particular. Amen. So the light. You see, Jesus came to give us light. To let us know our way. That's how the song says that. Pilgrim through this barren land. Pilgrim through this barren land. It's like a pilgrim in the land. You don't know what is it. So, beat me down something, something. So, God is leading you by his light. Can you sing it for me?
Guide me, oh, my great Jehovah. Bid me through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy power.
But what I like is that guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Do you get it? So guide me. If that you, I'm blind. So the light comes to guide us. The light comes to guide us. So that is Christmas. When Jesus came, light came into the world. Light came. See, the Lord didn't bring light to. The Lord brought instructions. So we're obeying it without understanding. If we don't do it, we'll be caught. I mean, for instance, over speeding. Do you know that you can obey over speeding because you'll be caught? I mean, you don't understand. But if you really understand what over speeding can, do you need that they will put of five people died here? I mean, one day I was traveling to Cape Coast. My boy was very young. I didn't like that journey. We're a bit late. And I was trying to stretch my leg. At every junction, Joe, if you tell me, hey, daddy, five people died here, five people died here. Ooh. Then I have to slow. I have to slow down. Hey, 10 people died here. You know, on the Cape Coast Road, they've written, five died here. This. You see, so in other words, he was guiding me. So, for a while. So you see that Even though I've been instructed that over speeding kills, but I have not understood it. It's instruction. And I will not overspeed because I'll be caught. So most of us, when we are driving on the Akusumu Road, we know where the police will use the, how do you call that thing? Speed guns. We know exactly where they stand. So when we are getting there, we slow down. Now, why do we do that? Because we don't have understanding that that overspeeding can kill you. You see? But when the understanding comes, I don't need a speed gun. I don't need you to tell me that 50 miles per hour. I will go 50 miles per hour because now I have light. I have understanding. Do you get it? So that's what Jesus came to do. The Lord told us, do you get it? That if you commit adultery, you'll be killed. But we didn't understand why. And even if you don't understood, I'll tell you another thing. But we don't understand why. Why? So we're only obeying the law. But Jesus brought light. So now I understand why when I'm working with Emma, you get it? She may be a beautiful girl, but I understand why she's my sister. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Isn't she beautiful? Beautiful. I understand why. Otherwise, are you understand? I don't understand this Christmas. Is this Christmas nice? Wow. What a Christmas. Hey. So he brought light to the world to show us what is real. And then Bible says he brought life. John, he said that he was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you get it? And then John 10:10 says that the bee, I have come that you might have life. What is life? What is life? Christmas makes us to know what life is. And dear friend, let me tell you something. Life is not what we are doing here. It's part of life. Life continues after death. Look, life is not having a car and getting visas. No, it's not life. You know, some people say, I'm living a good, have you heard good life? Is it a Guinness advert, one or the advert? Live a good life. Club beer, the Anano Club. And there were so many, they would say good life and they have forgotten. And so many things. But life, you want to live. It is none of life is when Christ has come into you. Life is when Christ has come into you. That is life. You may have all the monies in the world and not have life. You may be as beautiful as ever and not have life. And some people get confused. You know, one lady was going to get married one day, and the pastor asked the lady, is he born again? Do you know what he said? He said, no, he's not born again, but he's an American. Can you believe it? He's not born again, but he's an American. And this is not a story. I myself, I know her. I was there when the question was asked. So everything we say has a meaning. That's in 19-something when we're in the canteen. Yeah. He's not born again, but he's an American. Into the end. Life! It's not when you have gone to America. That's why I remember one particular lady very doing well in church one day. And one day she said, I've got a beloved on the internet. I mean, some get good words, I don't know. I've got a beloved on the internet. And then she went, and she was my Facebook friend. Hey! Then suddenly I realized that some things will appear on my Facebook. I said, what is this? And come and see this woman. Hey! I had to delete her from my Facebook. Because she thought she has found life. I've gone to America and I have life. But life is when Jesus comes. So on Christmas Day, we are celebrating the time that God brought us life. God brought us. And why are we celebrating? Because John the Baptist went to bear witness of the light. So that we will also bear witness of this light and this life. That is Christmas. That is Christmas. Christmas must not come for you to celebrate another Christmas without one single soul to show that you understood Christian. You didn't understand Christmas. That's why from last year, Christmas till now, not a single soul has received life because of you. Not a single soul is born again because of you. What does it mean? You don't understand the meaning of Christmas. You don't understand. He brought life. And let me tell you, life continues after. In fact, real life. As we are here, we're going to live here very soon. Look at Pastor Berima. Pastor Berima, 50 years time, he will not be alive. Whether he likes it or not. Because 50 years, he'll probably be crossing 100. 95. Who are your friends? Who will be WhatsApp? What WhatsApp group are you going to join? Okay, even 95 is okay. 95 is okay. But 100, is it all those things? People who chop 100 and plus and all those things, and they'll be strong. Like mommy sitting there. Mommy is 80 plus. Oh, mommy is 80 plus, but she's there, cool. Sits in church, flows in church, you know. These days, she come with uncle. I don't know what uncle is beloved. But anyway, mommy is 50 plus. I've been spying uncle that, hey, mommy, has mommy got a beloved now? But I'm saying, uncle is mommy's convert, I'm sure. You see, so, but she sits down. 80 plus. So you can be there and walk and be happy. But I'm saying that after some time, 50 plus, we'll all be checking out. Those of whose faces are shining, it would have become like this. You buy wrinkle-free days, anti-wrinkle, anti-in, anti-what tabs, it will still fall. Hey! You put this here and all those things, but when you remove the orange, it will become... Hey! Hey! They have something they call foundation. Hey! Foundation, and they put a proper... Look, brothers, be careful. Be very careful when you are... If you really want to marry one of these ones, visit in the morning. Impromptu in the morning, or take them to the swimming and let them go and come out. If some of them, they have water... water resistance. Now they wake up. You go and see. You see leopard skin. You see. So, life. We have life because of Jesus Christ. He came to give us life. The law couldn't give us life. The law only made us to see how bad we were. Jake, it's not easy. The law just made us see how bad we were. You know, one of the most difficult and painful is somebody to point your fault to you but cannot help you. Point your fault to you but cannot help you. Know your problems but can do nothing about it. It's very, very painful. Very, very painful. And usually it's like opposition. Very, very painful. But when Jesus came, he made us to know the law. And then he told us that you can't do the law and live. So I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you. So this time I'm not going to look at you by the law. I'm going to look by grace. Grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And beloved, this is a Christmas story. That's why I was so happy. Put your hands together for Jesus. That's why I was so happy to see that Donald Trump, for a long time, had brought a Christmas tree to the White House. I was so happy. For whatever you say, for me, I was so happy because it tells a story. Even the debate that, why did you bring it? It's even still telling the story. Yes, it's even still telling the story. That's when I was watching CNN. And we were doing the funeral of George Bush. I was happy because you could hear the name of Jesus.
I mean, if we did the GBC one or something, one will show it, because, I mean, if a former president of Ghana dies, GBC one or Bunu FM or something will show it, but it will be any. But this is the whole world. You get it. But at least it's been mentioned. We can say, for a long time in the White House, they can say Merry Christmas. Now they used to say Happy Holidays. Did you know that? It's like, don't use the word Christmas again. Because Christ is in it. It's offensive to other religions. Because Christ, we don't know what's happening. It's offensive to other religions. It was Trump who has come and he says that Merry Christmas. He will say it. He will say Merry. You see, God doesn't use perfect people. He doesn't. God never uses perfect. If you thought God uses perfect people, look at all these people singing here. Do you know who they are? It's grace. You have your own. If we should bring a spotlight on you, all those people are sitting on a television judging him and all those, if we go and look at them, they are homosexuals and all those people who are fighting against the Christ he's bringing, in case you don't know. Deliberately, because the man is preaching Christ. Whether he understands or not is another matter. But he's preaching Christ. Nebuchadnezzar was used to do a good thing. He's preaching Christ. So, back to Christmas story. So we should be able to help somebody about Christ. Next year by this time, if you really understand Christianity, you should not celebrate Christmas without that you point to. It's a despair led to Christ. You didn't understand Christmas. You only ate chicken. When you eat rice, and then it will become, and it will, but the life you save, Rebecca, the life you save is going to be with us forever. Louis. So this year, celebrate Christmas well. It means that by Sunday, you should bring somebody to Christ. Latest by Sunday. Those of you coming for the youth rally on Friday, the SHS, and then brother, don't come alone. Tell your friend and bring the person. And you have opportunity that by Friday you should bring somebody to Christ. Because the Savior is who we are celebrating. What is the Savior? Hallelujah. So how many of you are going to celebrate Christmas well? Yes, eat. Be happy. Do everything. But understand that He is light that has brought life to people, because He is a Savior. And we are supposed to bear witness of the light. We are supposed to bear witness of that life. And you understand what I'm saying? You'll be witnesses of it. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to be like that? How many of you want to promise Jesus that this is celebration of His birthday? How many of you want to promise Jesus that at least by this Sunday, you will do whatever to bring one soul at least to church. At least to church Friday, Sunday. How many of you want to make that promise to Jesus? You bring at least a soul to church. Vero, you don't want to promise Jesus? Don't bring yours. It's not optional. It's not optional. You see, some questions are not meant to be optional. You see, it's just meant for you to wake you up and say, get out there and go and do something good for yourself. Get out there. It's almost a command. So this Sunday, do proper Christmas. Those of you who have opportunity to come on Friday, do it. Hallelujah. Intifol. You've been coming to church every day. Come with someone. Celebrate. Let people know that you didn't go to church for nothing for Christmas. Tuesday morning, you are sitting here. Why are you sitting here? It's because of Jesus. Is it not because of Jesus? And what does He stand for? Fried rice? Contemporary? Atoji? No, He stands for life. Hallelujah. And how many of you are for life? I am for life. I'm for Jesus. So let's all go. One person, one soul this Christmas. Tell your friend, one person, one soul this Christmas. Take it on. Look. Every chat group you are on, the Fox, the Basenta, your Basanta, every chat group you belong to in the church, your old school, whatever, let it be known that this Sunday is a soul for Christ, for Christmas. How many of you understand what I'm saying? If you understand, lift your hand, let me see, because some people don't understand. A soul for Christ. And you see, go for it. You will see, if we had time, one of the things that you will get to know about Christmas is that nothing is impossible. If a virgin having had sex can give birth, then nothing is impossible. But I leave it for you to know that as you do that, every impossible thing in your life, God will also do it for you. Yes, as you do that. So let's go out there and let's do proper Christmas. Put your hands together for Jesus. All of us should join those who are in front
of
you. Believe in your heart. Say it with all of us. Let's go. Jesus.
Jesus.
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
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 I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
He came to die.
He came to die.
For my sins.
For my sins.
From today.
From today.
I confess.
I confess.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And wash me.
And wash me.
With your blood.
With your blood.
Jesus.
Jesus.
From today.
From today.
I say.
I say.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
I will no longer serve Satan.
I will no longer serve Satan.
I am yours.
I am yours.
And you are mine.
And you are mine.
In the name of Jesus.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0277-533-108 or visit us at Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0277-533-108. You can also worship with us every Sunday in our powerful gathering service at 10 a.m. at the Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. God bless you.